came to life, with a previously unseen ring of gold metal expanding out from the main body. The ring was tethered to the sphere, not by any mechanical piece but by magic. The hovering ring vibrated, and another ring shot out and fell into a different orbit around the sphere.
"Magnificent," Paldora whispered.
Atalan was transfixed by the device, which had now produced two more floating rings that continued to circle the sphere with various orbits. Sending Nias to Caliban so long ago had been a hard decision for the king, but now it had borne fruit. Their last-ditch effort to find immortality was not as he intended, but it would give them the time to plan.
"We will be gods."
Krayt reached out to touch the veil, but hesitated, seeing Nias's guarded expression.
"Will we be able to observe this world from the other side?" Paldora asked.
"Our influence is yet to be determined," Nias replied. "We will see things, hear things, but not everything."
"Our time on the other side is temporary," Atalan announced with his commanding tone. "We will use that time to learn more about the dragons and how we can defeat them. Nothing more."
A thought occurred to the king. "The veil will accompany us to the other side, yes?" His question was more of a statement, since this particular detail had been outlined years ago, during the veil's inception.
"Of course," Nias was quick to respond. "The portal will close, and the veil will follow us through. We can return whenever we so choose, Your Grace."
Atalan smiled wickedly at his own brilliance. Outside of time, neither death nor dragon could harm him. When he finally had the perfect plan, he would return to Ilion and exact a bloody vengeance upon their kind, and rule over all of Verda as a true immortal. The king removed a small crystal from his belt, and casually threw it into the cavern, where it exploded into a dark portal, as quiet as the night. The four companions stepped through the abyss, and left the caverns of Caliban far behind, travelling hundreds of miles to the south in a single step. The breeze whipping around the great wild moors was far more pleasant than the arctic winds that blasted the tips of the Vangora Mountains. Atalan looked up into a sky blanketed with thick grey clouds. He had come to hate the clouds as the war dragged on. The dragons could move unseen. Krayt wasted no time in summoning the refugees of the one true kingdom. With a slender wand, drawn from the base of his back, the Minister of War whistled into the dense forest, his pitch exaggerated by holding the wand under his lips. Paldora and Nias joined Atalan in watching the sky, the queen with her wand and the wizard with his staff. There, Nias lifted his chin at a cloud to their right, where the faintest shadow glided through the mist.
And there, Paldora was looking to their left.
Atalan braced his staff, tipped with a spear on one end and a globe of amber on the other. The chrysalith gems that laced the shaft would be his greatest weapon if one of the dragons touched down. The snapping of twigs and rustling of branches had the king turning to the moors, from which his people were slowly emerging. A quick count had Atalan concerned, for only 16 people walked out into the plains to greet them.
"Where are the others?" he asked immediately.
"Ymir," his minister of the harvest, replied, "the dragons were relentless, Your Grace. Many have fled deeper into the wild moors."
Atalan was quick to anger. "My instructions were clear. Is my word not my bond? I promised immortality, and I have delivered."
The king gestured to Nias, who was holding the veil.
"We must cross over now, as one people. It may be years before we return."
Atalan fought the urge to kill someone.
"It was the echoes, Your Grace." Ymir's voice trembled. "They have foreseen calamity."
Atalan rolled his eyes. The echoes was a religion he should have seen 2 years ago. But as with everything else, the war had consumed his efforts.
"Those crippled old men think they can see the future," the king spat. "I have seen the future. The one true king. Their prophecies come from a god that does not exist. I am their god. How dare they poison my own people against me?"
Atalan was pacing now, his staff stabbing the soft ground.
"Fine. Let them rot in the forest with their precious god, all of them. We will live forever and return to rule without them."
The king gave Nias the order to proceed with a simple nod. The wizard threw the veil away from them all, but the sphere of gold never reached the grass before the magic inside came to life. The orb floated in the air, and its rings expanded from nowhere and spun around the ball at incredible speeds. The glyphs that lined the metal began to glow,
until the details of the veil couldn't be seen at all. There was only light.
"Dragons!" someone shouted.
Atalan tore his eyes from the spectacle and looked up to see none other than Garganathan and Maliath dropping out of the sky. The two largest of their kind, with Maliath of a temper not dissimilar to Atalan himself. The king had always dreamed of keeping the black dragon for himself, as a mount. Krayt ran ahead of the group, past the veil, and fired two spells of destructive energy into the sky, forcing the dragons to change their approach. Garganathan came in first, from the left, and swept over the top of the trees with a breath of molten fire. Atalan raised his staff and cast a defensive spell that arced over the 20 humans, shielding them from the inferno. The air was soon filled with the smell of sulfur and ash. Someone screamed at the sound of their roar, but most responded with spells of their own, lighting up the sky with every color. Maliath returned their barrage with fireball after fireball, each large enough to consume 10 men. Atalan kept them all at bay, while Krayt landed a successful blow against Maliath's underbelly with a lightning spell. The dragon roared and flew higher into the air, giving Garganathan the space to swoop in.
"Nias!" Atalan shouted.
"It needs more time!" the wizard bellowed.
The king lifted his staff high into the air and called on nature to bow before the self-proclaimed ruler of all. Atalan stirred the clouds and changed the atmosphere, altering the pressure in the air. Grey clouds became black clouds, and thunder rolled across the heavens as lightning streaked within. Amid the pouring rain, Garganathan's breath of ice was met with a combined spell of fire from the group and a shielding spell from Paldora. By the time the standoff was over, the storm above was ready to be unleashed. Maliath's next run was interrupted by the staccato of lightning. The dragon weaved between the bolts, but was unable to evade them all. His cries of pain brought a smile to Atalan's face. Garganathan took several bolts to the back, but the golden dragon was indomitable. The king could feel his gaze directly over him.
"Your grace!"
Nias gestured to the veil, which had expanded now into a portal of pure white.
"We must go now!"
"Go!"
Atalan ordered. Those few who had kept their faith in him ran for the portal. Nias and Krayt were the last to pass through, with Atalan pausing only to stare at Garganathan, who was still hurtling towards him. One last look of defiance was the impression Atalan wished to leave the dragon with.
"I will return!"
The king walked through the gateway, and the portal collapsed, leaving the veil behind. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible, so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.